now plugged in to the Delphi podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy, and I help lead Delphi Ventures, as well as host some of the most in-the-weeds and thought-provoking guests across crypto, spanning Layer 1s to DeFi, NFTs, and beyond. The goal is to have fun, but also to dive deep and offer foundational episodes on projects and founders. Also, check out our research on Delphi Digital or miss out on the most compelling research there is. It's up to you. As a reminder, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. Delphi Ventures may hold tokens mentioned, so check out our transparency page in the show notes for more info. With that, let's dive in. See you guys on the other side.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. In this episode of the Delphi Web3 series, we've invited Mike from GM here. I'm your co-host, Avi, partnered here with Anil. And today we'll be talking everything Web3 social. So just to kick things off, Mike, would you please give our listeners a background on yourself?
Yeah, sure thing. So I studied finance and computer science in college. And then I actually worked for a hedge fund after school for 4 years. So didn't do any programming at all. Investing school, right? Like you get paid to like kind of like learn about a bunch of like really cool things and how the world works. But at the same time, I didn't really feel like I was building anything. So I wanted to get back into tech and writing code. So I dropped out. I quit my job. I went to go get my MBA at Columbia. Dropped out after my first year at Columbia to start a startup. Realized I had kind of no idea what I was doing. So I ended up joining this startup called Common Stock as a software engineer, which was really great. It was a really talented team. I got to learn from how to write production-grade code from a bunch of talented engineers. We had a really great head of product. Got to see how product processes were run. And then starting in like May, I was talking with my brother Matt McGinnis. He's like a software engineer, and we always bounce like startup ideas off of each other. And one idea that like has really been like resonating with us was like this idea of like decentralized social media. You have like a bunch of really smart people like Nambal Ravikant and Balaji Srinivasan, like putting forward like a lot of really interesting ideas in the space. And we're kind of talking about it like, we're like, somebody's going to build this and it's going to be like really important. And there hasn't really been a great attempt at it yet. So we figured kind of like, why not us? So we're mulling over the idea, like what it might look like, what problems we might solve. And then we both quit our jobs in September and have been working on GM full time since then.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, first off, like full disclosure, right? Delphi's investor in GM. And when we saw what you guys were building at GMXYZ, it had come after like, you know, weeks and months of, you know, us looking at so many trash like Web3 social plays. It's obviously like a narrative that's really hot right now. But one thing that, you know, really impressed kind of us was just at the speed, you know, the speed you guys were shipping at, right? So maybe, you know, before we even get into the speed and, you know, what you guys are shipping, can you just go through like, you know, what GM.xyz is and where you think it's headed, like over not even the next few years, but even the next like 12 months, right? Would love to hear that.
Yeah, sure thing. So over the near term, we think there's a big need for kind of a communication platform for Web3 communities. That's like Web3 native and kind of services them better than like Discord. Right now, like kind of like the status quo is like Discord, right? Like if you launch a Web3 community, you're either doing it in Discord or like if it's more informational, maybe it's a Signal or Telegram chat. And right, those are all like synchronous communication. Synchronous modes of communication. So that works really well for kind of like smaller communities where people like know each other. But like once you start getting into like the thousands of community members, it gets really unmanageable and unruly. And we personally think that like asynchronous communication is kind of better for that. So we actually like the Reddit post and threaded comment model. So basically, what we built is like, it's very similar to Reddit at this stage, where you create a community, think like subreddit, and then there's posts and then there's threaded comments. And it's really great for kind of discussion with a large number of concurrent users, right? So if you think about like a community trying to have a debate about like, I don't know, like, should we like launch X feature or whatever, right? And you want to solicit a ton of feedback from that, having that conversation in Discord's an absolute mess right now, because you have like 100 people chiming in and most of it's like not really relevant and there's no order to it, right? Whereas if you have like a threaded comments model, like the best comments like rise to the top, the worst ones float to the bottom, and it kind of like amplifies the best comments. You could reply to it, you could come back to it a month later, and it's really easy to kind of communicate. And then there's so there's that aspect of it, and then there's also like Web3 features that people in the Web3 community have just been asking for like years that nobody's built, right? Like, so like we have like verified profile pictures of your NFTs. You can showcase your NFT portfolios. You can gate communities by the assets you own, right? So like if you, right, like, so a big problem right now in like a lot of Discord servers is like the spam. You'll have like a bunch of bots come into your server and kind of like create like a ton of noise, right? And like you can imagine, like, for example, if like you're the Bankless DAO community, which exists on GM, you can gate access to the community by, you have to own some Bankless DAO tokens to get into that community and contribute and post content. So like that's, we think that's like a really powerful mechanism as well, right? So there's a few aspects there, but basically we're building kind of, it, the easiest way to describe it right now is like Web3 kind of Reddit. We just think it's kind of like a better, the asynchronous communication model is just better for large communities. So that's where we're going after right now.
Yeah, and the GM brand is perfect for crypto. And I think you guys have nailed probably one of the best URLs in all of crypto thus far. But beyond just the brand of GM, you guys have, I think, built a really impressive community. You're a platform for communities, but you've also built a community around the GM platform. Could you maybe talk a bit about how you bootstrap such an organic and engaged community?
Yeah. So, right. Like, so I talked about what I just talked about before is kind of how we're going to build a useful product at first. And it's still super early. Like we were talking about, it's a little over 4 months old since we pushed our first code commit. So the product isn't going to be on par with other like kind of social network platforms, right? Right. We don't have like a mobile app. We don't have push notifications. We don't have like great moderator tools. There's a lot of stuff that still needs to be built out. And our community still like really likes the platform and is willing to put up with those things. I think because of like our long-term vision and like how we plan to like decentralize over time and how we think we have plans to. So like there's a couple things. A, we like to decentralize over time, right? Like, we think it's, we think that like big tech oligarchs like Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, they control all of the data, and that really kind of like stifles innovation in the space. So we think that like if you could kind of build like a decentralized backend that anybody could build a client on top of, that'll be extremely powerful. And right, like kind of going back to what I was talking about in the beginning, like Balaji and Naval have put forth some really good ideas in terms of like the possibilities that unleashes if anybody can read and write to that backend. So that's one major aspect. And then the other major aspect is that we would like to, we believe that users should be compensated for like the community they create, right? Like Twitter, Reddit, the users are creating most of the value and they see none of that, right? So the person who created Wall Street Bets on Reddit, right? It has like 10 million plus subs in it. And they didn't see anything from that. So Chris Dixon at A16Z actually had a great thread on this called like your take rate is my opportunity. And that really resonated with us, right? Like, so Reddit like gets all this ad revenue from the content that its users creates. Like imagine like if the moderators and the top contributors in Wall Street Bets actually got the majority of that revenue, right? And then our take rate was something like 5% or something smaller, right? That strikes us as a lot more fair. And that just, in our view, is kind of where the industry is going. And that's another thing that kind of resonated with users. So, right, it's kind of like, A, like the societal good that could happen from having a decentralized backend that anybody could read and write to. And then B, kind of like rewarding the community for the content they create and the value they create. So those things really resonated with users. And a lot, we have like a core group of users who really care about that and are willing to put up with like kind of like a subpar product right now as we work towards those goals.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, because like, you know, right now you guys have a couple thousand users, right? You have an engaged community for sure, but it's still like, you know, very tiny compared to the legacy platforms, right? I think at the same time, you see, you know, some of the features that you've already shipped, you know, which obviously you shipped quickly, have been like these, you know, verified PFPs, which, you know, Twitter just did. And even these like tokens for specific communities, for example. We've already heard many times that, you know, Reddit itself is trying to explore this. But I think, you know, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's just like the speed that you guys are shipping at is one thing that I think makes GM really interesting. But also just like how you have a really good pulse on kind of the actual crypto community, right? You know what features they want or what features they're going to want. I guess, like, do you have anything, anything near term that you're kind of prioritizing or anything long term? Because, like, I think, like, long term, the vision is kind of, very kind of, like, broad. It can get where, you know, you can actually have these communities directly DAO themselves, right? You know, and automatically have, like, a treasury that they can start investing in using kind of GM as, like, a back-end infrastructure. So it almost becomes, like, a tooling for a DAO. But kind of curious to see, like, you know, I think the hardest part is, like, what are you guys prioritizing, right? And then, like, what do you think you need to ship first to get to, like, kind of the final vision long term?
No, I totally agree, right? Like, A, we're just building, like, the social network that we wish, like, existed, right? Like, I'm personally in, like, probably, like, 40-plus Discord servers, and I have all of them on mute just because it's, like, too distracting, and it's, like, a mess. And, like, we're kind of, like, building the platform that we wish would exist for us to kind of, like, participate in these communities. And ultimately, it's way too hard right now to launch, like, a Friends with Benefits type community or a DAO. Like, it's like, super hard. You kind of have to be, like, almost like a crypto expert to kind of do that. And we think, like, spinning up, like, a crypto asset community or a DAO should be as easy as spinning up a subreddit, right? So our near-term focus, our near-term focus is to get communities to launch on GM instead of Discord. And why would they do that? So there's two things that I think we're kind of going to be, right? Like, you kind of need some, like, killer features that, like, make users willing to put up with, like, the stuff that we don't have. So that they come to us anyway, right? So I think there's two things. One is that asynchronous communication is just way better way to have a dialogue with your community members and get them to contribute in, like, long-form discussion than kind of, like, synchronous chat, right? So we're kind of doubling down on that. We're making content, like, searchable. We're making it easy to organize, right? So you can have different topics, right? Like, so you can imagine, like, we have our GM community, right? You could have, like, a topic for product feedback. You could have, like, a topic for, like, announcements. Kind of, like, think, like, what people use Discord channels for. So that's, like, an area of focus. We're just kind of, like, building, like, a great asynchronous communication tool. And then the other thing that I think will be really important is giving these communities insights in terms of who is contributing to their community, right? And that becomes really powerful when you have, like, a wallet linked to it. So if you think about it, right, like, you have your, right, like, you want, right now the status quo is you kind of, like, launch your Discord server, and there are some people who, like, contribute a lot. They're, like, answering questions. They're helping people work through debug stuff or, like, onboard, and like, they're inviting users. But again, they're, like, not compensated for it in any way. Through GM, what we want to give is community, right? Like, you could have, like, a top contributors, like, leaderboard. You can give communities insights into who the most valuable contributors are, like, who's creating, like, the most valuable posts and comments, who is inviting new users to your community. And then because they have their wallet address linked to their account, these communities can start rewarding their top contributors with, like, airdrops or, like, free NFTs or, like, Ethereum tips, right? And I think those two things, the asynchronous communication tool and then insights into who your top contributors are how we're going to be, like, is kind of be going to be our way in to get people to choose us over Discord as, like, the place to launch their community. And then the other features, like mobile app and, like, just kind of, like, much more polished product will come over time.
Yeah, I think the other you know, key part is like the interoperability and composability in crypto makes this like a crazy kind of customer acquisition channel too, right? Where it's not even just the own communities rewarding their users. Other communities can not even vampire attack, but kind of like reward users that they see are contributing and, you know, value add, you know, people, and kind of like help onboard them into, you know, their protocol, their DAO or their community in general. So yeah, I think this is like, you know, this can only exist in kind of this, you know, Web3 world. So, you know, since this is like a Web3 series, it'd be great to kind of get your take on, you know, what is, you know, how would you define Web3, right? We'd love to hear that.
That's such a, that's like a very tough question. I kind of like the view is that like Web3 kind of just makes like the internet ownable and it, right? Like it kind of like allows people to kind of own digital assets. And like now that we're spending most of our time online, I think that's going to be extremely important, right? So you you can share in the right? Like, so you have like tokens, right? You have like NFTs. You have like your wallets, right? So you can send it and transfer value. I think that's like the that's how I would like kind of like define NFT, define Web3, and then. It's really cool because of like all the cool new, they're just very cool primitives that you can use in very useful ways. So like, let me give you like two examples. So the first one is it's like a really powerful way to, help with like spam, right? Like, so spam is like probably like the number and content moderation is probably like the number one problem that social media, platforms face. So if you think about something like Twitter or Reddit, they really don't have, it's really tough for them to protect the platform against spam. Like it, you really just have to kind of use like sophisticated like ML technology. But one thing that we could do and like, is we can like look at the assets you have in your wallet and like kind of like grant you permissions based on that, right? So in order to sign up for GM, you need to have at least some ETH in your wallet. So that prevents is people from spinning up a bunch of kind of bot accounts with empty wallets. What that does is it prevents people from spinning up a bunch of bot accounts with empty wallets. And it's a very cool primitive that we can use to protect the platform against spam. Whereas like with Twitter, Facebook and like Reddit, people could just spin up as many email addresses as they want and like kind of keep attacking the platform. You could, and then you also have like other cool things, right? Like you could gate like access to certain communities. You could do like paid DMs. So you imagine you're like you're a person with like a million followers on Twitter. Like you probably like your DMs are probably totally unmanageable. Like even if you wanted to respond to every single DM that one of your followers sends to you, you couldn't because it's hard to figure out like who's worth responding to and who isn't. Because you have these kind of Web3 primitives like a wallet, you can make rules like, hey, like you could go to kind of like Balaji's earn.com idea where people pay you to DM you, right? And then that allows you to kind of like prioritize access of like who values your time. Or you could say only people with my project can DM me, right? Like, so like if you're Kevin Rose and you can make a rule like only people who own my proof NFT can DM me, right? And like that becomes extremely powerful with like, right, you can think about musical artists, if they have like people who own my music NFTs can contact me or I want to reward them in some way. Sorry, this is kind of like a very long-winded answer of like, but yeah, fundamentally, like it gives us a bunch of like Web3 kind of creates digital scarcity and that can be used in a bunch of unique ways.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, I want to shift you towards more of the ethos side of it. I want to dive into your mind now and sort of start to unlock like what it is that you think Web3 is beyond just, you know, all of these really cool tools and features. And if I may just kind of shill GM here real quick, because I think one of the core pillars of Web3 is transparency among, you know, being permissionless and open and composable. You guys have leaned into that transparency side of things. And one of my favorite, you know, sort of events to unravel in this Web3 world is the product wireframes that you posted just a month ago. and you had community members start contributing to building high fidelity wireframes for this, who have no incentives, to actually do this. But because you were transparent, you were able to kind of open an opportunity for the community to contribute. So that transparency piece, I think you guys have really acted on quite well. I'm curious, like, what other Web3 pillars, and thinking more of the ethos as opposed to the tangible features or products, are you really excited for, and do you plan to sort of implement in the development of GM?
Yeah, so I think transparency is a big one. And like another thing is like kind of openness, right? And composability, right? It kind of makes like open source software like really monetizable, right? And like it rewards people who kind of create these extremely useful primitives that other people can build on, is like kind of like another unique characteristic of Web3. Another thing is just the sense of shared ownership, right? Like you see a lot of projects that, right? Like the most famous one was probably like Uniswap, right? Like airdropping 15% of their governance token to the users, right? There's like this acknowledgement that the users of these protocols are generating value for these protocols and should capture some of that value that they create. And Web3 is kind of acknowledging that and acting on that versus contrast to Web2, which basically captured 100% of value. So like, right, like an example that gets used a lot is like, right, like the early Uber drivers or the early Airbnb hosts like captured none of the value that they created, even though they helped get the network off the ground. And Web3 is saying like, yes, those users contributed a ton of value and we're going to reward them for doing that. So I think that's like another core ethos. And then, and like going back to the openness thing, I think that's like a huge part, and it's impossible to overstate, because it forces, right? Like another Web3 kind of like core tenet is we're going to make all of our code open source, right? And like give up most of your moats and just say like the only thing that we're really competing on is like the creating the best product, right? And like if we don't continue to create the best product and deliver on it, then people will have the right to kind of like fork us or transition to a new product. And it's kind of like a really honest way of building versus like a lot of the monopolistic tendencies that happen in Web2.
Yeah, I guess speaking about Web2, right? Like, you know, you're looking at it, the framing with, you know, building GM.xyz right now. But what if, you know, I'm curious to get your thoughts on like, you know, what web, if you were working at, you know, some of the other social networks or Web2 social networks, what are some ideas or features that you have there that you would like integrate if you were in their shoes? And which maybe social network do you think has the biggest kind of like opportunity to actually, you know, like bridge themselves over to Web3? Yeah, I'm sure you've given this like a lot of thoughts. So just curious to hear your thoughts here.
Yeah, I mean, like there's a few that are kind of, I think it's going to be really hard for kind of the large incumbents in the space to fully transition over. Twitter's probably doing the best job, right? Like they just launched like verified public pictures. I can imagine them allowing you to like showcase your entire NFT collections, right? Like be able to see, right? Like if you own a CryptoPunk, right? Or like click on somebody whose profile who owns a CryptoPunk, be able to see all of the other Twitter users who also own like a CryptoPunk, kind of like stuff like that. You could do really cool things with like discovery and building out your interest graph. So, right, like you link a wallet to your Twitter account and you own a Bored Ape, right? It recommends people to follow you who like own like similar assets, right? You can do really interesting things there. What I wish they would do is like share some of like the value they capture with like the users, right? Like, so Twitter and Reddit like generate like a lot of advertising revenue. It'd be interesting to see like some of that go back to like their creators, but like I'd imagine that's like a tough thing that they'd have to get approved at their board meetings. Yeah, probably not happening anytime soon. I mean, those would be like the two main ones, is like just using Web3 primitives in more interesting ways, and then also kind of like sharing the value they create. And then with other with the users creating that value. And then I guess like the last thing would be like kind of like opening up their APIs and like giving people access to their data, and like rather than like kind of hoarding that moat for that data moat for themselves, right? Like, so this was like an issue like with Twitter, like back in 2013, right? They had a bunch of open APIs and people could build all these cool like Twitter clients on top of it, and that were extremely useful, and like more better ideas arose from that because you had great ideas could come from anywhere rather than just like the handful of product managers at Twitter. And then when that started eating into Twitter's advertising revenues, they kind of shut those APIs down, right? So like, I would like them to kind of like open up their data, and then it's not sufficient to just open up your data. You have to kind of like commit or be able to signal some credibly that you're not going to change that and like kind of rug pull in the future.
Yeah, love that. I can't wait for you to take down some of these Web2 giants. that being said, and I know it's like, what the fuck is Web3? But what is the biggest risk that you see or challenge that Web3 faces when it is time to, say, take on the Web2 giants?
Yeah, I mean, a big thing, and like one thing we're trying to be very careful about is kind of like incentive models, right? So like you saw with like Steemit, right? Steemit basically copied Reddit's UI and slapped a token on it. And what that led to was it created like this perverse incentive to create a lot of engagement farming content. And you could kind of see that happening in like a few different protocols, not just in like the social space, but like, right, you start rewarding people and now you, for like the value they create, and then you have people trying to game that system, right? And like you have like airdrop hunters and stuff like that, which kind of ruins the experience for a lot of people. So like getting the incentive right is, I think, going to be like one of the hardest problems in Web3.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's such a good point. I guess like what other, you know, Web3 kind of like platforms or projects, you know, that's not GM, are you like most fascinated by or impressed by? You know, what would you be working on if it wasn't GM?
Yeah, I mean, so my crypto reading has really fallen off since I've been working on GM. I just don't read as much as I used to. But one of the more interesting projects I've seen is kind of like Treasure, in the way the kind of like devs, they kept pivoting and they gave pretty much all the value back to the community. It was like a kind of like a pretty interesting development. That's one I've been following. Yeah, I'm doing a poor job of explaining it. I'd have to like refresh on exactly what happened there, but like I just remember like reading an article on it, like a report, and it was the way the devs were approaching it and like how they're trying to kind of build, I guess, like the primitive currency for gaming on Arbitrum is pretty interesting.
Too busy shipping to read.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I wanted to sort of also get your thoughts on like Web3 social specifically, because that's been like a really hot topic. You know, Web3 is, I think it's a great rebrand of like the crypto tech stack and kind of these distributed systems and networks. But there's an emerging niche of Web3 social, and you guys have, you know, gone after it in a very, you know, specific way of building a Web2 like experience, right? And slowly or progressively decentralizing over time. I'm curious, like, what does that like progressive decentralization look like, and how do other Web3 social projects or networks start plugging into GM?
The way I would look at it is like the most prominent like kind of decentralized social network right now is DeSo, the DeSo protocol, and they're taking an approach that's different than GM. So what they're doing is they kind of built their own L1, right, that like is optimized for storing posts and comments and upvotes and stuff like that. And then they have all these different kind of unique transactions that you can do with it in terms of like buying and selling people's coins and minting NFTs and stuff like that, right? So they've taken the approach of basically building their own L1 and saying anybody can build a client on top of this. Our approach is different. We are starting with utility first. We're like, so our view is, if you don't build something useful that's cool and that people want to use, then like the decentralization aspect doesn't really matter. And it's so hard to build like a social network that people actually want to use. And that's actually useful for people. I think that's like one of the things that's DeSo is having trouble with now is, right, like building on top of DeSo is like really, really hard from a developer's perspective. So we're building on traditional Web2 architecture because we can like move so much faster and iterate more quickly. Right. So we can run a bunch of experiments and say, like, users like this feature, they don't like this feature, and then slowly iterate towards product market fit. And then our plan is, like, once we have, we're following this playbook that was written by Jesse Walden and the team at Andreessen Horowitz. It was really good. On basically, like, you start off very centralized and you find your way towards product market fit. And then once you have product market fit, and then you start to put processes in place to kind of maintain innovation and maintenance of kind of like the protocol and the client, and you slowly kind of exit to the community and decentralize over time, right? And they call this like the playbook for progressive decentralization. And that's like the approach that we've taken, right? So right now we're still kind of iterating and like trying to build something useful that communities actually want to use, right? Because we're trying to build something that like competes with Discord, right? Which is, I don't even know how much Discord's valued at, like $10 billion plus. And we're just a team of three engineers right now. And if we had to try to build something that was competitive, a competitive offering for Discord on top of like, with just three engineers on top of a decentralized architecture, it'd be like 1,000 times harder. And then also like prohibitively expensive because like you have to kind of like pay to write to that chain for like a form of like civil resistance. So that's been our approach, and we're like kind of, and then the other added benefit of that approach is that I'm sure that best practices for decentralized architecture will look drastically different over the next 12 months than they do today, right? So that's like another thing that is helpful for us is like, we can just focus solely on utility for now. And then like, maybe there's like some innovation in the space that makes it way easier to kind of like put our data on chain and decentralize the backend. That we can take advantage of then rather than like trying to rush it now. And like, it's great, right? Like, so it does open us up to like some criticism because people can say, oh, you guys are centralized. You guys aren't, the data actually isn't on chain. I think there's like benefits to our approach. And like, my response to that would be like, A, it's like, I think this is the better long-term approach. And then B, also, you have to like think through of like what is being accomplished through that blockchain, right? Like if you don't have really like censorship resistance or like the APIs could be changed or like people can't like really fork it and create their own version, then like it's more of like just marketing than it really is kind of like a decentralized backend.
Yeah, I think that was one really cool thing that, you know, when we were getting investor updates from you guys and you were sending us like, hey, this is what we're working on. It was literally links to your, you know, to GM where you were posting it publicly to the community. And you had your whole community kind of engage and kind of like, I think you even had some designers kind of like, you know, design mockups for some of the ideas that you posted in there, which is great. But it was also great to see that people actually did care about your guys' path to decentralization and kind of the benefits that it does bring, and you guys kind of like replying to that. At the same time, I think like what's really cool right now is, you know, maybe Discord for DAOs, you know, even 6 months ago made a lot of sense because the communities were much, much smaller. Now that the community is growing, you know, at the pace they are, having all the discourse and kind of like conversations within a Discord group just doesn't make sense. So, you know, while I know that you guys are trying to, you know, basically make GM kind of like the home of crypto communities, I think near term, the path that I at least personally see for that is like you guys being a complement to Discord and crypto Twitter, right? And then eventually almost Trojan horsing yourself into like becoming like the de facto place for the main kind of like real conversations. And then all the shit posting happens on Discord as it always will, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how we're like kind of positioning ourselves. We're an asynchronous complement to Discord, your Discord community, with like Web3 features that you can use for all types of interesting things.
Yeah, I guess like, you know, what are the challenges to get there now, right? And also, you know, we have, you know, thousands of people listening to this Delphi podcast who are trying to break into crypto. Like, what positions or what type of like people are you trying to get onto the team? Obviously, you know, I think the one thing that you're definitely looking for culture wise is just people who want to ship fast and ship a lot, right? But I'm curious to see like what challenges you foresee there, and then which type of people can help you kind of like, you know, tackle those hurdles.
Yes, we are looking for right now, like the product, it was designed by basically two engineers, and we could use like a real professional designer. And the benefit of actually posting, we're kind of shocked at the response we got from our community, but like we'd post like my little wireframes that I kind of drew on a piece of paper and posted like a, took a picture on my phone and uploaded it. And then we are the, a member in the community, like posted like these really amazing, designs. Right. And like, that's kind of like, that's also been like why we've kind of like been building in public is, we get like really good feedback and ideas at, come from the community. Like we've had things where like, hey, we're planning on implementing this and we'd post it. And then people would raise all these different concerns and we're like, okay, this probably wasn't a good idea. Right. And like, that's a good way to kind of like get us to notice. Like I DM almost every single person that posts like a really, really good feedback or stuff like that. So that could be like a great way to kind of like get to know the team and meet the team. And yeah, I mean, we're looking, right? Like we're looking for like a designer. We're looking for like somebody who could focus on product full time. We need to, who can like spend 100% of their time just thinking about product. Right now that's, I'm kind of serving that, like that role. Like I'm like basically like defining our roadmap and stuff like that, along with like Matt and Grant. We're basically kind of like doing it together. But like to have somebody who could fully focus on that would be like a need. And then also like, devs, like engineers, right? Like there's a lot of code that needs to be written. And you don't necessarily have to have like Web3 experience in terms of like, you don't need to be like an extremely great like smart contract writer. We're open to people who are in Web2 looking passionate about what we're building and want to make the transition over. Yeah. And like, we're also like looking for people who just like kind of like believe in what we're trying to build and really, really kind of like care about, like, I personally think that like if you kind of gave everybody in the world read and write access to, kind of like a universal social media backend, that you could have kind of like this Darwinian approach to a lot of the hardest problems in social media. So I think it's like a really powerful idea and I think it should excite a lot of people. And then it's also kind of cool to have people, using your product. It's always fun to like ship a feature and then have people like comment on it. And so people who are looking for that should absolutely reach out. And like, you could shoot me a DM on GM, Fonz.eth. My middle name is Alfonso, so that's why I'm Fonz.eth. And yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And kind of right in line with that, you know, just before we wrap up here, I've got like a few questions that I just want to like throw at you rapid fire. You know, feel free to, you know, give just a few answers, just a one word answer. So first up, what's your favorite all time post on GM?
My favorite all time post on GM. There, honestly, it's one of those designs. Like those designs were amazing. I was kind of probably the first one. I'd have to go back and find the first design. But there's this guy Kevin. He's a senior product designer in Web3, and I posted my like silly little mock-up of like, hey, this is what we're trying to build, and then he just posts like a beautiful like high fidelity mock-up, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And like we immediately moved towards that, and like that's probably my favorite post, because like you just realize like, hey, we have some really smart people in this community, we should be asking them for like talent, be building it in public with them more often.
Yeah, I think when I saw that, I even like DM'd Avi. I was like, oh man, it's so smart that they have their designer like posting, you know, the mock-ups like in line here. Because,
oh, he wasn't our designer.
Yeah, I know. That was the best part. But I think like, you know, you see this all the time on Twitter or even like, you know, Discord or the Reddit itself, right? Where you have very engaged community members try and propose things, but it's always like talking to a wall, right? It's kind of like they're just saying it to say it. And, you know, other people will be like, oh, yeah, that's such a great idea. Like, wish Twitter would let me search my DMs. This is like a feature that like everyone unanimously like agrees on in Twitter. And it's just never been shipped, right? Whereas, with you guys, it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is something that we're going to work on in these next 48 hours now, you know, which is awesome to see.
No, exactly. I mean, like Paul Graham, like talks about this in his essay, doing things that don't scale. Right. Like it's very hard for us to kind of compete against like, right. Like Facebook level, like engineering and design resources. But like one thing that we can do is that like, you can't like, right. Like you can't like reach out to like Mark Zuckerberg and get a, like a response, like, or anybody on the team and get like a response and get your feature built. But like with us, you can DM any one of us. And if it's a really good idea, it'll probably be implemented within like the next week and maybe even sooner. So that's like really cool. And like people feel like a sense of like ownership because they are like, it's kind of cool to say like, hey, like that feature was my idea.
Yeah, love that. And yeah, that was an awesome post. Kind of in line, what are your favorite GM communities?
My favorite GM communities, I like the ETH Finance group. I like the Crypto News community, right? Like Crypto News community is a relatively new one. I could see it being extremely valuable to like kind of like one day, like you, hopefully like in the near term, the near future, just basically having the most, headline worthy, news articles like linked, and ranked in order of what like the community finds most valuable. And then like discussions on each of them, right? Like, so you see a headline of some hack and you want to know like if you're affected and you could scroll the comments and see like users talking about that. I think that will be like extremely valuable. And then like probably the GM community is probably my favorite one. We have C/GM on there. And that's like for like product feedback and stuff like that. And like, kind of like just talking about like the long-term strategy. We talk about a bunch of things. We talk about like product features. We talk about like our plans to decentralize over time, which is honestly great because like our community like is like really smart and like they have a lot of good ideas on that. So that would probably be my, favorite communities.
I think some other communities to shout out here, like the NFT community and the airdrop community.
Oh yeah.
Right? I think those were like the first few that I saw when we were, you know, DDing you guys. So much activity there and a lot of alpha being dropped just like publicly. Right. And, I thought that was really cool to see.
So much alpha. Yeah. And like, especially the airdrops one, like they like compiles, people are sharing like spreadsheets and air tables of like all the upcoming drops and stuff like that. It's extremely valuable.
Yeah, I'm sure the Delphi listeners here are going to appreciate that. Definitely hop on the GM communities. There is a lot of alpha to uncover. I just want to give you an opportunity to shout out maybe some community members, maybe the best shit poster on GM, anybody like really worth following.
There's a bunch.
And it can't be yourself.
No, it won't be me.
This is a loaded question, Avi.
Yeah, this is a deep query. This is a...
yeah. The Jew for you, I don't know. The Jew for you seems to be pretty active on there.
There's a couple of people who like post really good stuff, like Yakim, which is just Mikey spelled backwards, YEKIM.ETH. He posts like really thoughtful and good stuff. Nick .ETH is N1K.ETH. He posts a bunch of great stuff on like NFTs and like really like high quality views on like different projects. There's this guy Porzingis Khan who he shares like a bunch of like great podcasts like that I'll always like add to like kind of my playlist, probably a couple of Delphi podcasts in there. He's written like he's provided like resources on, that's actually how I found out about kind of like the Magic and Treasure DAO through some of like the resources he shared. Those would be the main ones. And then Yeah, and then obviously like Kevin Lansplain, who he posted those designs too. So he's probably like the number one shout out.
Nice. Love it. Well, Mike, I really appreciate you hopping on the podcast with us today and talking everything Web3. Could you mind sharing with our listeners one more time where they can find you, find GM, and start participating.
Yeah, sure. So we're at gm.xyz. Just type into your browser. We'll have a mobile app hopefully in the next couple of months. I'm fonz.eth on there. My brother and co-founder is magoo.eth. And then Grant, who just came on as a founding engineer, he is grantmagdance.eth. So shoot any of us a DM and we respond to pretty much everything. If you have any ideas or stuff you'd want to be implemented, if you're like looking for a role, we're hiring. So that'd be great.
Awesome. Thank you for the time, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Delphi podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on your podcast app, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter or LinkedIn. Stay tuned for our next episode, out soon.